Good morning. Welcome to the first day of the month of March and to our Wednesday morning devotion and prayer time. My name is Tom Lemler. I'm a staff member of the Deer Run Church of Christ in South Bend, Indiana, as well as the director of Impact Prayer Ministry. As I begin, just a cautionary tale, I guess. It seems lately Facebook has been doing some interesting things with my videos. Yesterday, I had a notice that of copyright violation. I guess my voice is rather musical. I had 12 different instances in yesterday's morning devotion that were flagged for music matches. And most of them were classical music. And so had to submit a dispute on that, and it seems that they temporarily lifted that mute until they can investigate. But if, with all of these, if the sound disappears or is strange or Facebook doesn't like it, I record the audio independently of the video and then post a link strictly to the audio after the fact. So that link should always be there if you're listening and the sound goes out. But anyhow, just a little housekeeping there to give you a heads up in case you listen to one of these or if Facebook continues to do its strange monitoring of something that isn't even there. This week we're talking about godly sorrow, about this road of sorrow that Jesus walked as he made his way towards the cross, about how that ought to impact our life, the sorrow that we may live with, and the causes of the sorrow that Jesus had. And today we're going to talk specifically and pray about a sorrow because of destruction. And spent so long on the intro, my screen went dark. Here we go. Luke 19:43, and we've been looking at this passage from Luke 19 all week, and we'll continue to do so. As Jesus looked out over Jerusalem and wept, and it's this often overlooked part of the triumphal entry. So 19:43. Jesus says, "The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side." And actually, we're going to talk about sorrow over opposition. I got ahead of myself. Tomorrow we'll deal specifically with the destruction. But I'll have to rename the video and when I'm done. But he talks about Jesus is weeping over Jerusalem, and part of that reason as he looks out over Jerusalem is that he knows that opposition is present. He knows that even greater opposition is coming. And I wonder, when I think about that, how often we are filled with sorrow because of those who oppose Christ, because of those who oppose the body of Christ. The days of Jesus, Jerusalem was significant as not simply the capital city, but the location of the temple. The temple where people could come and meet with God. It was a place of worship. It was a place important. It was a place for God's people. And to know the opposition that would come against it added to the sorrow that Jesus felt as he looked out over the city. And I believe not simply sorrow, and we'll talk about this more tomorrow, not simply sorrow for the opposition against the city, the fact that it represented people. Jesus did not seem all that concerned about the buildings. In fact, he made it clear that they could tear the temple down in 3 days, and in 3 days he would rebuild it. And they all thought he was crazy because, well, their mind was focused on that physical building. He was focused on the person, in this case himself. As God was dwelling within him, and God, he was him as he walked earth. And so as he spoke about the opposition that would come, it wasn't so much sorrow over the opposition against the structures, but the people that those structures housed. And there will always be those who are opposed to Christianity, just as there are always those who are opposed to any religion that you want to name. We live in a world filled with opposition. We tend to contribute to that as well. If you don't agree with me, then I oppose you. And our means of doing that varies greatly from person to person, and for some it's simply a dismissal of whatever ideas that I disagree with, and for others it's a very aggressive opposition. But when it comes to God's people, we often become so self-centered that we fail to be filled with that same level of sorrow when someone else faces opposition. Oh, it matters if it's us. But the Christian community as a whole, the Christian brothers and sisters that don't worship in the same building that I do. I think sometimes we try to lessen our guilt by making excuses, by diminishing our sorrow. And we begin to, in our mind at least, discuss ways and make up ways that become reasons as to why they're facing that opposition, rather than being filled with sorrow that someone else will be opposed. And we'll say, well, they brought it on themselves. They're not teaching what they ought to teach. They aren't true to the Bible. They this. And there are times that that's true, and the opposition is from God. God makes it clear in Scripture that He opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And so, yes, there are those times. In fact, the opposition that was to come upon Jerusalem and the people of Jerusalem was because they were rejecting Jesus. It was, in a sense, of their own doing. But did Jesus stand there and proclaim, "I told you so"? He was filled with sorrow. He did not want the people of Jerusalem to face the opposition that was headed their way, regardless of why it was coming. And whether the opposition faced by others is of their own doing, or whether that opposition comes because of the hatred of others, we ought to be moved to that same point of sorrow that same point of compassion, that same point of caring that we would want, not only that we would want to reflect Jesus, but that we would want others to have when we face opposition. Living life, being opposed, is pretty much a guarantee. At least if you take a stand on anything. I mean, anything. But how you respond to that opposition is your choice. And I believe that God's desire and will for His people is that we would be moved to sorrow, that we would be filled with compassion. Not only for those that we see that are being opposed, but also for those who are doing the opposing. You see, the nature of Jesus was one of compassion. It was one of mercy. It was one of love. Yes, it was one of judgment and correction. Not in a sense of condemnation. He made that clear. Sometimes our translations, we kind of confuse and merge judgment and condemnation together. And so we get very confused when some text will tell us to judge rightly and others will tell us not to judge at all. But it really has to do with making judgments in regard to the correction needed versus condemning someone because of the correction needed. And this godly sorrow, Jesus says, is such that we ought to be filled with it, not simply for those we agree with, but for those that we disagree with, for those that disagree with us. And when we treat others with that level of compassion that Jesus had, we are more likely to be given the opportunities to be involved in the correction we need and to be involved in the correction others need. And what an incredible privilege it is to represent Jesus well. I think of times in high school when I would have opportunities to represent the local high school FFA chapter in state and national level competitions. And I wanted to do my best, not simply because that was my nature, but because I knew I was representing others. I knew I was representing my school, my chapter, my advisor. And how much more important is it to realize that our life, our daily activity, our sorrow and compassion for others is a representation of Jesus? Knowing that that's what we're called to do, knowing that that's our responsibility, ought to fill us with a greater desire to do our best. And the wonderful part about that desire to do our best is we don't have to do it alone. In fact, we can't do it alone. That we have the Holy Spirit to help us, to guide us, to comfort us, to correct us, to teach us. And when we allow Him to be heard and listened to in our own life, we begin to portray the compassion of Jesus more accurately. We begin to be filled with that godly sorrow over the opposition that we face. We begin to be filled with that same godly sorrow over the opposition that others face. And we even have that same sorrow over those who are opposing. Would you spend some time today praying with me? Father, thank you that you are a God that loves us. Your love has called us to yourself and given us what we need to be filled with joy, to be filled with an overcoming spirit, with your spirit. And Father, today as we live life, we recognize that there are multiple sources of opposition. Sometimes we find ourselves in that category of those who oppose others. But Father, rather than joining in, rather than taking sides against one another, may we be filled with that sorrow, that compassion. When opposition comes our way, when opposition is faced by our fellow believers, even that same sorrow and compassion for those who would oppose. Father, especially when that opposition comes our way or comes to the lives of others because of a rejection of you, because of our pride, because of the way we live life, ignoring you. May it not be something that we take lightly, but may we learn from that opposition. May that opposition help us to have a greater godly sorrow that leads to repentance. Father, as we consider what life looks like day to day here on earth, our work life, our play life, our family life, our school life, whatever it is that we are doing throughout the day, may we consider the opposition and may it move us to sorrow, to compassion, to being motivated to represent Jesus more accurately. Father, today as we represent Jesus, may we lift Him up so that many would be drawn to Him. It's in His name that I pray. Amen. This has been our Wednesday devotion and prayer time. Thank you so much for joining me today. I do pray that your day is greatly blessed by God so that you can be a blessing to others. Have a great day.